Yeah,
welcome to episode 88 of Geeky and Square Table. I'm your host, Lawrence America. And with me today is...
Taylor.
Joshua.
Yeah, G-squared.
G-cubed.
All right.
You're being soft-spoken.
Yeah, exactly.
What's up? There's something wrong, because normally you're loud. And you're being like all low-key.
Maybe it's a golf episode.
Did you not drink coffee this morning?
I don't drink coffee.
Did you not drink tea this morning?
I do drink tea, but not first thing. I don't drink any hot beverages first thing in the morning.
The mileage of life has run him over this week.
Oh, no, really?
Real? Is that it?
It has been a rough week.
So you're about three sheets to the wind right now?
I haven't drank in weeks.
Well, no,
but
I'm, just
like
saying, I'm just saying
you
on
would
life.
Like to drink right now.
If you must know, I've been moving.
Yeah, we know you've been moving.
Yeah.
You've been packing and everything.
Well, okay, and so I've been, but that involves, I'm moving into a house that's already full of stuff. So
you're moving more stuff into it.
To move and go through and pack and then move my stuff.
Oh, no.
I'm moving other people's stuff, then moving my stuff, moving other people's stuff.
Okay.
So, yes.
So you're just exhausted.
You're doing double duty.
For the past month, well, I've been doing some stuff like for the past 3 months, I've been working on this, you know, like doing new attic floors, you know, and all kinds of other miscellaneous upgrades to the place, and doing all kinds of other stuff, working on this to come up to move. So, and here lately, it's full blown mode. I haven't actually taken a day off where I didn't actually go work.
Yeah, doing something
in probably like 3 months.
Jesus.
Yeah. So,
but isn't it an upgrade from where you've been?
I mean, I'm moving out of an apartment into a house, so I guess there. I mean, in my life situation, yes, of course.
Well, then it's worth it.
I mean,
you'll be happy. You'll be happy when it's
yeah,
over.
You're no longer going to be a renter. You'll actually own something.
Well, the house is already paid for. That's beside the point.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's
really, that's a great
point. That's a great point.
That has nothing. That is neither here nor there. That I mean, if it, you know, if that interests the crowd out there,
you give me a house that's half broken down and it's paid for. It's better
than
a non-paid for.
I never said it was broken down.
Well, no,
okay?
I'm saying
I never said it was broken down. I'm moving in with someone who owns their own home.
Never even got any
I did some upgrades. Never said anything about it being broken down.
Right.
I mean, just the way that came out.
I'm just saying I would anything, even if it's, as long as it's paid for.
Yeah. Slightly messed up and paid for is better than than immaculate
the
and not
paid for.
The house
isn't messed up. It just
we're trying to drive a point saying that A is better than B. That's all we're saying.
Why are we even talking about this?
God.
Because it interests the listeners.
No,
it doesn't.
They want to know your life.
Really, it doesn't.
I'm zoning out over here, and I'm actually a participant in this. No, I have a
right. I don't. I mean, if y'all want to know more details, I'll gladly tell you after the podcast. But this
on Geeks of the Square Table after dark.
Yeah, after dark.
Oh, but nerd news. Probably of the day is Fallout 4 was announced this morning.
When's it supposed to drop?
I'm sure we'll get more details at E3
just the trailer.
In a couple of weeks, but they showed the trailer for Fallout 4. Apparently, apparently it's going to take place in Boston, I think someone said, because they saw a recognizable landmark.
Yeah.
I wonder if the
trailer
South,
looks good.
I wonder if the South Boston mob's going to be part of the game.
Well, they'll be an irradiated South Boston mob.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
With Whitey Bulger's head in a glass jar.
It's been a while since we had Fallout 3 now. It's been 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's been
I mean...
well, there was New Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, New Vegas was kind of... It was like an expansion pack.
Yeah.
It came out a couple of years afterwards.
And I heard it was excellent, but...
Well, it wasn't all that.
Well, Fallout 3, though, was quite a good game, and it's one of those... I'm looking forward to the sequel. Although, I'd be really excited if there was another Elder Scrolls game, because that's my Bethesda universe of choice.
Well, you know, I definitely am fans of that genre. You know, Zenya, and I played the heck out of the first two games, but I've never made the upgrade to the current gen, so I never played Fallout 3.
Oh, Fallout 3 was last gen. You're really behind.
Yeah. I've just moved on from the point to where I want to spend that kind of money on video games.
That's fair.
Fair point.
Although, you could get Fallout 3 for like $15 now if you want.
$15 It's probably more like $5.
Oh yeah, I was just highballing it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I might, if I have to see it in Walmart's $10 software bin, pick it up. Which is where I get a lot of my computer games. Because usually by the time they hit there, my computer's been upgraded enough that I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but depending on which GameStop you go to, you might be able to get Fallout 3 for $1.
You get it pretty cheap sometimes.
I mean, which is crazy, because Fallout 2, 1 and 2 were both excellent games.
I never played either of those.
And I've never heard anybody say, well, as far as I know, they were only PC games.
Well, that's probably why then.
But, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Fallout 3. And I think I may have actually played it once when it first came out at a buddy's house. But.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting thing about Bethesda games in general. People still probably consider Morrowind to be the best of the Elder Scrolls games by consensus, even though that is they had two iterations since then.
Well,
it's debatable.
It is certainly debatable.
What else you got?
A lot of people that were really into the computer games.
You see that buddy Jonathan?
First,
I've seen
him.
I'm not sure, but I've seen him take that.
And of course, I didn't think nothing, because it went from a 2D top down RPG type setup, a little more Final Fantasy feeling.
Yeah.
And now it shifted more towards the Halo feel to it.
Yeah. There's definitely a Halo feel for it.
Yeah, so Fallout 3 had the first person type.
In Halo, you can't shoot teddy bear grenades at people, so.
Right, exactly, so I can understand why, if you were fans of the RPG storytelling, top down mode, why you would be off put by it, but as long as they do the property justice, I think it's fine, there's definitely one of my favorite web series was a Fallout spinout.
What's that one? I don't think I've heard of that. What's it called?
It's Nuka Break.
Nuka-Cola?
Trying to think of the guy's name. Zach Frenfrock or something.
That's a name.
Something unpronounceable.
I can barely guess at how I'm going to spell it.
The website's Wayside Creations. And he did all these different movies. And he did a web series on special effects. But it's the web series is called Nuka Break. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty good. They got a second season where they actually got people from Bethesda, or however you pronounce
Bethesda.
To help with the writing and placing parts and stuff like that. So, it started out as a fan film, then they made a series, and they did two seasons. It was a pretty good launch. They did a Firefly fan film that they were paid to do by the Loot Crate people. And it took place on a ship that was in the online game. So you got a downloadable code to play that ship or whatever. So it became canon. And they've done a couple other little things here and there, but it's all just, started out of stuff somebody was doing on YouTube in the garage,
Somebody was just having fun making something that they like.
Right, he did all kinds of crazy, how to do, like, candy glass.
Well, it's cool to see,
all kinds of weird, crazy special effects.
People making things because they're passionate about it, and then they take off. That's cool to see. Yeah.
Well, I got a update in my podcast remember that series We're Alive that I told you about, Larry, about we had that whole discussion about the zombie apocalypse survivor thing, like living in the one
podcast We're still alive.
Yeah, yeah, we're alive. Well, they sent a like a little 4-minute snippet. They said that they're going to be debuting a new series under the same name, but it's called We're Alive Lockdown. And it's supposed to apparently take place inside of a prison in between guards and prisoners. It might be related to what happened in the first series, but I'm not entirely sure yet. So
that's cool.
I'm, yeah, but I'm looking.
I'm glad they're doing well enough that yeah. they start something else. Or maybe they're just got a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I've got about maybe 8 episodes left of the previous, you know, series. You know, until I'm, you know, get through the whole story.
Zombie apocalypse in a prison. Yeah, that's new territory. We've never covered a prison.
Yeah, I mean, they had the prison, and you know, and in Walking Dead, but they didn't like really showcase like what happened in the prison, like all the psychologies between prisoners and guards and that kind of stuff. So I think it might do pretty
good. Fair
enough.
Yeah, if you actually see the breakdown happen, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how they deal with that. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, because in that TNT show, The Last Ship, when they had to go to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba to refuel the ship, they went out on the island, you know, into the army base, and there was like one military contractor still there. He was the last man standing, and the commander of the ship asked him, you know, what happened. And he said, well, when the fit hit the Shan and everyone started dying because of this outbreak, we didn't see much point in guarding these, you know, these Al Qaeda guys, so we just cut them loose. And it turned out, you know, the Al-Qaeda guys were still trying to kill all the guards and the military contractors, and they couldn't kill this one guy, so...
Well, you know, if...
Yeah. It's just like, really, the end of the world's happening, and you're still going to be like, Jihad! I mean, come on, man. Really?
Hey.
You're on a base that's completely militarized.
If you're locked away in Guantanamo Bay, you don't get the most up-to-date, minute-to-minute news.
Well, I don't know, but I don't know if I'd really want to leave, since you have like top-notch medical facilities there and massive warehouses full of food and fresh water.
But is that going to stop?
Well, also, this is the other thing too. You're assuming that they knew there was some crazy outbreak, and you're also talking about religious fanatics.
Yeah. Well. Well, so, I mean, yeah. I don't know, like, how far they went into the show, like with the storyline of that certain section, but I'm fairly certain at some point, you know, someone would have updated them about, like, what's going on in the world, like, with this disease that's taking out, like, 3/4 of the world or more. But, you know, whatever. I digress.
So what are you reading?
Oh, I'm reading Secret Wars, number 3, which has been quite excellent so far. The thing is, though, there's, like, so many different tie-ins, I usually have to wait a week before I pick one up, because I try to hear, like, the consensus about, oh, wait, this is actually pretty good or not. It was that way with the Captain America Planet Hulk thing, which, you know, I guess it delivers exactly what it promises. It's Captain America as a gladiator with a dinosaur punching Hulks.
And what more do you need?
Really? Yeah. I mean, honestly, who does need more?
Mark's been petitioning to get Captain Hulk a giant red dinosaur to ride, you know, in his regular series.
I mean, I wouldn't say no. Came out last week that I didn't pick up until this week, Infinity Gauntlet, which apparently is supposed to be the bee's knees. I haven't read it yet, but I'll look and see. But so far, Secret Wars has been quite good. If nothing else, because it's cool to gawk at. It's neat to see Dr. Doom being the god of this world, and then all these alternate interpretations of familiar properties. New spins on old classics, so have you.
Well, you know, it's weird to see Dr. Doom being featured, because wasn't he a FF villain?
Yeah.
I mean, so...
He's the FF villain.
Right, so... I'm surprised to see him featured as prominently as he is, given the current state of the FF.
Dr. Doom has transcended being just the FF, though. He's kind of the arch-villain of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. It's a close contest between him and the Hulk as to who has fought more people, because Dr. Doom and the Hulk fight everyone.
Yeah.
He's also, like, number one for intelligence throughout the Marvel Universe.
Bullshit, but either way.
No.
Well, If we're doing power rankings for intelligence, it's probably Reed number one, and then Doom number two. Doom can do a lot of crap that Reed can never do because he's a lot more ruthless, but as far as pure computational power, it's probably Reed.
That's why evil should conquer good.
If we're talking about computational power, wouldn't it be the Vision?
Fair point.
I mean, actually, yeah. He's got a supercomputer for a mind, but they usually like pass off Reed as the more intelligent of the two anyway.
Well, there's more
apparently
to
Reed is smarter than the sum of human knowledge that the Vision would have access to as a living
there's,
computer.
It's like you watch Star Trek Next Generation. Data could be the most brilliant one there, and yet doesn't get the smallest thing there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a difference between just the capacity to do math, I guess, and
understanding
being a leader,
something,
being, understanding the world around you in profound ways. Also, Asad Rebik is drawing the main series of Secret Wars, and he is just an astoundingly good artist, so that's always good to see. He's the same guy who drew most of the God of Thunder story arcs from Jason Aaron's run on Thor.
That was definitely a popular run. What do you got stacked there in front of you? Secret Wars.
Battle World. It has been a lot better than Convergence. A lot better.
Yeah. Well, DC, I'm not even going to give Convergence its fair shake because I've just my readership of DC has been slowly whittled away since the New 52 started.
Well, I went ahead and read it. It was really bad.
Really, really bad?
Really, really, really bad. Last week on the podcast, it was that all we did was knock it down. Like really bad.
It was basically a waste of a big event.
It really was. There was no reason to even have it. Really, no reason.
It's basically they were having Secret Wars, so they decided we're going to do something.
There's a lot of uncanny overlap between things Marvel and DC do. Like, I remember a few years ago, Bucky had stepped in the role of Cap, and Nightwing stepped into the role of Batman not too long after.
Right. Is it just me, or has anyone else noticed this uncanny thing that's been going on with a lot of Marvel books?
Look
on the bottom.
It's the adjective that's always been associated with the X-Men, so things like Uncanny Avengers.
The back of the book. Like, most Marvel books are now advertised Harley Davidson on the back of them. I think it's weird.
Well, that's nothing. I'm on the interior pages of some comics. They were running advertisements where there was this team of Harvey Davidson writing superheroes. It was stupid, but
I think it's interesting to find that Harley Davidson is trying to segue, into trying to gain comic book readers as new writers.
You get advertisement wherever you can.
I don't like the fact that when I go to buy a T-shirt, there's Punisher everywhere.
Oh, but you know what? Speaking of advertisements, I've heard it told that is it DC or Marvel that's going to start doing in-panel advertisements on non-ad pages?
I think it's DC doing that.
Yeah, isn't it?
Whichever
one of us is doing it, that's bullshit.
So basically, doing product placement like movies.
Didn't we
have a whole discussion about that last week or the week before?
I think they did that in the preview for the new Superman one coming up. They had like product placement in the panels.
Well, I mean, speaking of motorcycles. I picked up the new 2015 rider catalog for Indian Motorcycles because I went out to Murfreesboro and got to do a test ride on the new Indian Scout and the Dark Horse and the Roadmaster. Oh, and I got the prices for all of them on the back page.
So, I know nothing about motorcycles.
Indian is the first motorcycle company in America. They started in 1901.
The most I know about motorcycles, I learned on, what's that show, where they go into people's barns and stuff?
Oh, American Pickers,
That's where I learned most about motorcycles.
Well,
all right,
the Indian Scout, that first one over there on that page, that bike has not been made in 70 years. Mm. Now, if you look at one of the original Scouts and put it next to that one, they look almost no different size-wise or, like, design-wise, except that that one's more, angular and, a lot crisp and modernized now. And by the way, that Scout...
I like that.
I waited a year and a half to ride that Scout. That thing is awesome. It like is look, absolutely awesome.
I like the look of that cheap vintage.
Oh, the vintage, yeah.
I like vintage.
By the way, the Roadmaster, the big super bagger, I normally stay away from bikes that big just because, like, they're not balanced right. They don't, you know, they, and, like, they're so damn heavy, I feel like it's going to fall over on top of me and crush me. I rode the Roadmaster the other day. That thing is so perfectly balanced. It feels as light as my bike. And my bike is stripped down. You know this.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Comic books. I'm reading Star Wars.
Okay. That's been quite good.
It has been really good. Have you been reading the other ones? Like,
yeah, I've been reading,
Princess Leia and Darth
Vader?
I've
been reading Leia, Vader, and main Star Wars. Vader, I think, is probably the best overall.
It is. It really is.
The Star Wars mainline one is a lot of fun. It's a popcorn comic.
I like how they're tying them together. How one thing that happens in Darth Vader comic goes on to the other one.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to try to veer them off more than what they've done.
It's cool to see that. I mean, they're all riding in the same, like, stable here, yeah. So it makes sense they'd be able to coordinate things like that. So it's pretty cool. Leia's been all right, but it is the one that I'm least excited about from month to month.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Coming up this month is Lando gets his own comic series.
Do you know who's writing it?
I don't.
Okay. Because that's one of the big pulls for all the other books is that they've had these great talents associated with it. Jason Aaron's writing main Star Wars. Kieran Gillen is writing Darth Vader, and Mark Waid is writing Princess Leia. And great art.
All I know is that Lando's coming out. I haven't really read a lot about it. I'm not really that excited about Lando Calrissian having his own comic.
Yeah, I don't need extra backstory from Lando so much.
Right.
He's a scoundrel who's associated with Han Solo in the past.
Right. And this is all previous to Empire Strikes Back anyway, so you had
there's not really room to tell stories between Empire and Jedi. For one thing, you wanted to be able to use Han. He's frozen in carbonite the whole time.
Yeah. Shadows of the Empire was a good book, though.
Yeah. The most storytelling opportunity is in the interim years between Empire and New Hope.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty valid. Because, I mean, really all you got for between Empire and Return is you can do a lot of bounty hunter stories.
What's this?
Because that's...
Well, like I said, with Shadows of the Empire, they did going against the Black Sun, trying to find Han before he gets to Jabba. Luke becoming a Jedi, or at least what he felt like was a Jedi at the time.
Well, yeah, he did have a big jump in power between Empire
really
and
big.
Yeah.
Really big. Barely control anything in one movie and become a Jedi in the next.
There's only a few months, though, right, in between movies? Or?
I think timeline, it's about 4 to 5 months. It's not that much.
Yeah. Well, good job, Luke Skywalker, I guess. Anyway.
Hard work pays off.
Good for
but
them.
The Star Wars has been good. I've been looking for the other action figure variants. You can get most of them on eBay kind of cheap, except for the Boba Fett variant. It's like the cheapest one I saw was $60 for the Boba Fett variant.
Well, yeah, that's because...
It's Boba Fett.
Yeah, and I mean...
Incidentally, Boba Fett's been one of the best parts of the main Star Wars book.
Yeah, he's
got lots of badass bar fighting and various things.
Yeah. And no spoiler about the last one, you know, he finds his prey where he's been hunting. So.
Well, yeah, issue out this week is Boba Fett versus Luke.
Yeah. Their first battle.
Yeah, and this is, I guess, Wuss version of Luke,
who
is nowhere near as tough as he was. And so, smart money's on Boba, I guess.
Yeah, gotta be. Gotta be.
I just cast a fist. I love how Boba got so famous, but, like, barely had any screen
time. He is barely in the original trilogy. He only said, like, one or two things.
And
he said,
"As
you wish." When they say no disintegration, that's about it.
That and he had five, ten minutes of screen time. Yeah.
He had a few lines. And, he's no good to me, dead. You know.
And a lot of his screen time in Return of the Jedi was him going out like a bitch.
Yeah.
But now he's this famous badass.
Really.
Between that and also, just the bounty hunter idea in general is always going to garner a lot of interest because they're they're badasses.
Yeah, but there were other bounty hunters.
Empire, especially, was presented really well. He had this cool mystique to him. Like, oh man, what's Boba Fett's deal where Darth Vader has to specifically tell him not to disintegrate this guy?
See, he thinks, and he's among a few people that have the theory, that he's the one that disintegrated his aunt and uncle.
I read a fan theory that he went and got that's Uncle why. Owen and Aunt Beru, and that's why Darth
that's
Vader,
why
said,
Darth
no
Vader said no disintegration.
And I was like, oh my god, it all makes sense now.
I guess so. They weren't really disintegrated, though. Just, like, charred to a crisp.
It's fun to just sit there.
There were
he's got, he's, got a, he's got a flamethrower on his arm.
He does.
You know. He would have been in that vicinity around that time.
Well, imagine how much better Boba could have done if he didn't have the no disintegration stipulation placed on his work.
Well, yeah.
He was disintegrated motherfuckers.
Have you ever read the... Infinities of Star Wars,
no.
Where it's the what if. Basically, in the one for Empire Strikes Back, when Boba Fett arrives at Cloud City, Lando's not a little bitch, and he basically carbon freezes Boba Fett, makes him a desk.
Wow.
Well, that would be a pretty badass desk. The frozen corpse of my enemy.
Yeah. And he's got his feet propped up on there telling Vader, no, I haven't seen Boba Fett.
Well, that's suicide.
Yeah. That, and secondly, it's kind of hard to not notice the guy frozen in carbonite.
Well, he was on a comm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
was,
he's like,
it was,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Boba Fett had to tell him, come here. Well, he just captured him when he got
Vader,
there.
One of the things I liked in one of the first issues of Star Wars here was someone was giving Vader bad news over a comm, and he still, like, broke his neck from, like, a planet away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, the ship was in orbit, I guess, and he was on the planet's surface. Like, I'm sorry, Vader, they're getting...
Yeah. I like the way they've been doing the Darth Vader comic itself.
Darth Vader comic itself is very good.
Yeah.
I really like the Indiana Jones stand-in archaeologist that they have working with him.
Yeah.
She's a lot of fun.
Well, a lot of people are saying that she's supposed to be a tie-in to the new movie somehow.
Huh. Making another Indiana Jones movie?
No, for the Darth Vader comic, there's a new character that's now canon.
Yes. Okay. See, what happens is the crystal skull ending, the spaceship comes back and kidnaps Indiana, takes him to the Star Wars universe.
I hate you.
Wouldn't that
and
be
this
awesome?
Is his
well,
spot.
Don't they do that in the Lego game?
That was a
game?
Dumb question, but anyway.
In the Lego game, Han and Chewie go across, and there's a mirror, and it's Indiana Jones and Short Round. That was kind of fun.
Short Round was just the worst character.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the worst character, but the worst character you wanted in that movie. Like, I mean, like, you know, it's totally, like, acceptable.
Well,
he was
Indiana
funny,
Jones
though.
Are, as much as I love them, they are campy as shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
you should know that going in, and it'll be fun. But
Short Round is not the worst character that George Lucas ever created.
Oh, not by any means.
No,
I never said that.
You want a character like that in a campy movie.
I love Short Round. Hush all your whore mouths. You keep going on to Jones.
The guy's offensive at best.
Yeah, offensive at best.
Yeah, just about. But he was funny in the movie.
Offensive. Cultural pop racist icon.
Oh, okay, but speaking of movies that came out in the 80s, the new Mad Max movie, I got to go see it this
last
weekend.
Yeah, I just saw it, like, yesterday.
It is very, very good.
Yes. Is it really?
Yeah,
it's
excellent.
I was just, I haven't gone to see it just because I was worried.
The way it was described to me is an hour and a half of car chase porn.
That's not inaccurate. I mean, it is an action movie, and the action does hinge around...
a car chase.
Lots of car chases.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's
I'm really surprised.
The way it was put together,
Fury
though.
Road,
I mean,
yeah.
Of course it's going to be on a road. They're going down a road.
A very angry road.
Yes.
the road just like...
Even beyond it being a good action movie, though, there's lots of engaging characters. It's shot beautifully.
Yeah,
even with a level five tornado in the mix.
They also have... a lot of practical effects that went in the movie. They actually built all of the cars in there. There's a character who has a flamethrower guitar, and they actually built him a flamethrower guitar.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. This is the problem I have. That's why I haven't gone to see it. That's the main thing people talk about. is the guitar.
It's featured prominently, and it's a cool visual.
I mean, but
it doesn't actually do much in the movie, I suppose. But
it's it's because the guitar, you're now going to see it at the next Kiss show.
Well, I saw a thing somebody put together. Or Rammstein. Like, oh, shit, they brought a bard. I was thinking, oh, maybe that's what he was doing the whole time. He was buffing their stats by playing the guitar.
Yeah, no, it totally was. But yeah, I thought it was really solid as well. I had enough people tell me it was good on opinions I trusted beforehand to where I was like, I think it's probably going to be decent, like, at worst. And it was really good. The only thing I would say is it lacked a bit of world development that the previous Mad Maxes had. There was no...
I liked how they don't explain a lot of things. Like, they don't explain the culture of the war.
Any of them are remotely connected?
Connected. Who cares? Like, you can see this. I barely remember the old Mad Max movies. I still had a great time watching this one. But
why?
I remember the old Mad Max movies.
I like how they don't really... They only give you, like... They don't have somebody sit down and tell you what's up with the chrome painting that the War Boys
are using.
Peter Griffin is just sitting down with a book that says Mad Max on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like three major towns in the entire world that they did for this movie. There's Gastown, the Bullet Farm, and then the War Boys with all the chrome whatever.
And those are all under the same umbrella, really. Under the same Lord's purview.
And that's basically the water farm.
But there's also there's at least two other tribes that they come across at various points in the movie. I also like how Charlize Theron really kicks a lot of ass in the movie. Just as much ass as Max kicks.
Yeah, actually, I mean... Some would say, arguably, she is the main character.
You could argue, that it is her story, and Max is sort of the support there.
But
he does a lot. Sure.
It did seem like that. Like Charlize Theron's character was the main, title holder, and Max's character was like the side.
I thought that was cool. That's a cool way of like having a we're so used to seeing, you know, our main character does everything. It was cool that he really was just the support role in this one,
which I thought was cool too.
He was a key support role.
See, that right there is something to make me want to go see it, just because of that.
I mean, Charlize Theron, she plays a character named Furiosa who's missing one arm and...
Has a cool bionic arm.
Yeah, when she's driving... It was her left arm.
And the gear shift in her big rig, like the top of it comes off and is a dagger.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The rig itself is... It's almost a character in and of itself. There's so much detail that went into where the different turrets and like the different compartments.
And guns are hidden. There's dead man switches underneath it that can only make the thing turn on in a certain way, firing order.
I mean, really, I think what they did was they go, "Hey, what's your favorite part in Road War?" And everyone's like, "Oh, the oil rig scene when like he's getting chased."
Favorite part
and they
is
made a whole movie
they made
about.
A movie that's pretty much based.
My
around.
Favorite part is a big spoiler, so I'm not going to say.
Shut up.
I just explicitly said I wasn't going to
next
say
week,
ass hat.
Next week you get to spoil everything because we gave it. Next week you can spoil everything because we gave everything a 2 weeks.
Yeah.
After 2 weeks, you can spoil everything you want now.
Warrior, Mad Max, and Beyond the Thunderdome. And, I mean, they all three really. Only the first one is Mad Max really the main character.
I was going to make a point on that, too.
The second one, it's all about the kids. And the third one, it's all about the Thunderdome.
Tina Turner is just great.
I mean, it's following his adventures to this day. Post-apocalyptic wasteland. But really, it's about, in the series, the only correlate. I mean, he is there just to make them correlate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's more telling the stories about the other people he comes across. You know?
And his character development in general is more like someone who aids people, but then he doesn't want a part of any of it at the end.
Yeah.
Like he comes in and he's like, "Yeah, I'll do this for you."
And then he just walks.
Actually, at first he wasn't. In this movie, I think it's kind of... He's not really a heroic character.
Oh, no.
I mean, at least not to strangers. You kind of have to, like... You have to grow on him before he'll actually do anything for you. Yeah. Like, he was perfectly mild spoiler. He was perfectly willing to leave all these people behind and just go about his merry way at first.
Josh and I are stupid. We're going for sushi.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's... That's really solid. I'd actually probably go see it again.
It makes a lot of sense because that is basically the character in Beyond the Thunderdome. He's basically, I'm not going to help you do anything. Kid touches his face and, ooh, I'm going to help you.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a nice guy because in a post-apocalyptic world, being nice gets you dead.
Gets you dead, yeah.
But, but alternately, he does still have some of his, like, pre-apocalypse, like, feelings there where he's, like, still going to try and help people.
He's a good guy, but that's a very deeply buried part of himself.
Yeah, because in post-apocalyptic world, being a good guy,
you watch the original movies, he was a good guy in the first movie.
Yeah, I was able to, like, at some point, I saw part of the first movie.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm finally able to see part of the first movie.
I got this wrong.
You need to watch them.
Okay, so the description for Mad Max is: a vengeful Australian policeman sets out to stop a violent motorcycle gang. The second one is The Road Warrior, a post-apocalyptic Australian wasteland. A cynical drifter agrees to help a small gasoline-rich community escape a band of bandits. And apparently the third one has the Tribe of Kids and Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got that confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Former Australian policeman rescued by a tribe of children when he's banished from a desert town and sent into the desert to die by the desert town's evil queen. I got to physically build that down. All right, so, but anyway, they're all about his interaction with the community or whoever, not necessarily him per se. But he is, yes. He is inherently a good guy, and it's in one. He's shown as an adult, a professional, a working policeman. You grew up, and you're a policeman. You're still going to have, some of those ethics carried into you and beyond, and I guess the 20 or 30 years after the world goes to hell. I guess all these stories could theoretically take place in 5 years or 2 years. Things could go down really, really, really fast, I suppose. I mean, how long does it take to build a Thunderdome? The world will never know.
That's your main
question with all the Mad Max movies is how long does it take to build a Thunderdome?
There are some interesting feats of engineering during the Fury Road here where it's like, how long did it take to build something like that? Like, assuming using hand tools.
Yeah, the water farm, like, itself. Yeah.
And plus, like, the engines, like, keeping them going. It's like, how do you keep making head gaskets? Or just gaskets
in
general.
You don't need them anymore.
If you blueprint an engine, then you don't need head gaskets. But you have to have some serious machining equipment to blueprint an engine.
Right. Inherently, this is a don't worry about it issue.
Yeah.
You're not going to enjoy the movie.
If you overthink
you have to, forget about practical things like if gasoline's so rare, it's probably been years since any of these cars had an oil change.
Yeah.
How are they in such fine-tuned condition?
They apparently are quite liberal with their gasoline usage in this movie. They have flamethrowers going and various other things.
Well, yeah, I would say that's warlords.
That was the basic, the excuse the motorcycle gang had, or whatever, for rioting was because of the apparent gasoline crisis that struck. Yeah. It was a normal civilization.
They found more gas.
Hey, and dirt bikes get great gas mileage. Honestly, they do. But
I'm pretty sure the rig that they were using for most of this movie does not get excellent gas.
It's 2,000 horsepower.
Power. It could be solar power.
Hey, 2,000 turbocharged.
It's a hybrid.
It's a Prius oil rig.
2,000 horsepower, and it's probably turbo or supercharged. That thing probably gets maybe 5 miles to the gallon, I'd imagine.
Plus, highway, but you don't know. It could get 30, 40 miles desert.
Yeah. You don't know how many Fury Road miles it gets.
Yeah, but Fury Road miles.
The secret of this movie is like the whole thing takes place in like a 10-mile area.
The thing, though.
It looks really intense.
A dual-engine rig that gets 2,000 horsepower, that thing's got to run off diesel. There's no way that thing runs off gasoline.
Solar-powered, man. You're overthinking
space.
Hey, but, well, hold on.
Diesel would make more sense because you can do biodiesel a lot easier than fine oil.
Not to mention the fact you don't need spark plugs with a diesel engine. That fuel air just compresses until it has to detonate.
It's in the future. It runs on dilithium crystals.
Well, we're talking about, they have glow plugs. They have igniter systems.
They've managed to get warp engines put together. They are finding the most petty ways of utilizing
them. Yeah.
But also, here's another thing I was wanting to ask. When it came to Gas Town in the movie, all right, anyone who's...
So that's where the Taco Bell is?
I was going to say, that'd be a horrible place to live.
Well, I guess, but eventually, don't you think that the Gas Town well would run dry? So, would they have to move the entire town and drill another well to see if there's more more oil?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what I tell him all the time.
Emmys don't need oil or water to run.
Just
for a while. They still run without oil and water.
Just a movie.
See, yeah. I don't like it when people argue that. Because
movies
are allowed to make sense.
No, I'm saying, I think you're just overthinking it.
Movies are allowed to make sense.
Well, mainly the point
some movies you just shouldn't bother.
Like Idiocracy?
That, unfortunately, makes much sense.
The minutiae of how the world works, those I feel like they're easier to kind of overlook than plot progression stuff.
Yeah.
The plot has to make sense, otherwise it's just shit.
Exactly. But I'm saying,
cause
it's
and effect.
Probably. Would they have to move Gas Town somewhere else at some point? Yeah, but would they effectively just be tell you that in the movie?
No.
Every 5 years, we gotta move Gas Town, guys.
Yeah.
No. Why would you change the name of it?
All right. If you,
theoretically, they would if they are able to get the water and the agriculture aspect of it. They wouldn't necessarily have to have the gas.
Yeah,
this is
the next town is Premium Gas Town.
You gotta remember this is based on a world which was originally created up in 1978 or some shit.
Something like that.
So.
How long has it been since Mel Gibson?
Let's see.
When was that drunken race?
So.
Racist ass Mel Gibson.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. That there was a lot of jokes, it was going to be, Mad Max and Fury Road was about to kill people of certain ethnicity.
His face is obscured the whole time, but I had heard told that the villain in this one, Immortal Joe, is the same actor who played the villain in Mad Max.
Wait, which one? Like the original?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I've heard.
See, do you know his name?
Nope. Let's IMDb that shit.
Alright, so.
When in doubt, IMDb.
Tap it to see what he was rated to be.
Oh, I went and saw Tomorrowland.
Was it good?
How bad was it?
Very, very mixed about that.
Well, it seemed like it was just a advertisement for going to Disney World.
No, what it really is they put it out so that Escape from Tomorrowland movie.
Right. Whenever you Google Escape from Tomorrowland, it comes up the Disney movie.
Since that movie was illegally shot on Disneyland property, they had to nip that one in the bud.
Well, Tomorrowland was actually Tomorrowland was actually. I really liked it.
He played Toe Cutter in the first one.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell really too much because, as he said, his face is pretty much like you see.
Covered.
Really, this and just his mask.
And also, just pushing 30 years ago.
Pushing 30 years ago.
Yeah. That's a fun little tidbit, though.
That is kind of cool.
But yeah, Tomorrowland, I think it was a really good movie, and, the main villain in the movie, he doesn't think he's a villain, and in some aspects you could argue that.
Most villains don't see themselves as villains.
But his long monologue near the end of the movie, it actually makes a lot of sense, and it's actually retrospective of what's going on now, because he starts.
Is it a good or bad thing that the bad guy makes sense?
It's actually a good thing, but also you feel bad for the heroes of the movie, but it's still I can understand where he's coming from because that's what's going on now, in our world.
Are you sure that doesn't just make you a terrible person?
Exactly. Does that make you the bad guy?
Okay. I think that might be the bad guy.
No, but I mean, the visuals that they did in the movie were really great. The way Tomorrowland looked in the movie. It was immaculate. It looked great. I loved it. I wish I could have lived there. And plus all the tech that they were showing like through the movie.
I wish I could live in Star Wars universe.
I'd rather live in Star Trek universe.
Well, yeah, but in Star Wars universe, you could lose an arm and they could like make you a robotic one that, you know, looks and feels real.
In Star Trek, you can be blind and they can create artificial eyes for you.
Yeah. They're also you can tell they don't look real.
In the last episode of Next Generation, they were showing a few decades after Next Generation, and he had awesome eyes, and Data had full range of emotion. I guess I want to live at that time in the Star Trek timeline.
Yeah, but in one of the later Star Trek
decades after Next Generation.
Yeah, but in one of the Star Trek movies, Geordi LaForge, he actually has cybernetic. First Contact. He has cybernetic eyes. They look human. Well, I mean, from far away, they would look human, but like close
up. They look awesome. It's better than the visor.
I'm saying, in Star Trek world, physics still makes sense.
I'd rather live where physics doesn't make sense.
Fair enough.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to have to deal with magic.
I mean,
it's like that extra wrinkle.
I like that, though. I mean, you look at Worf, breaks his back, they have to do this complicated surgery and put a new spine in there. Luke loses a hand.
Arguing the Star Wars side, you could catch a bacterial infection and choke and gain telepathy.
But in Star Trek, that's one of the main reasons I hate the stupid midichlorian thing, because it's introducing a scientific explanation to something that is inherently mysticism.
But in Star Trek,
you could piss one guy off and he destroys the entire race.
But there is one.
But
guys, you're forgetting the most all important fact in Star Trek. They have food replicators, so anytime you order something, it's like it came out of the out of the kitchen of a 5-star restaurant.
Okay, but
think about it. It's like I want to
you could have one guy you piss off, and he just goes, "Okay, I'm going to make it to where you never existed. Your entire world never."
Okay, I don't fuck with Q, but other than that, just
stay away from Q.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of all powerful aliens in Star Trek thinking on it now.
But I mean, think about it. If you ask for a steak from the food replicator, it's going to give you a steak that's like a $300 steak, practically.
Well, and Q is probably the Star Trek version of midichlorians. Because essentially, as far as everything else is concerned, his stuff might as well be magic. There's no scientific explanation,
in the sense that he doesn't really fit the genre, like the way the
right. I mean, there is no scientific backing for a Q story. Now,
I'm sure I could go on the Star Trek wiki and look at how being displaced outside of time and space.
I'm sure someone with a master's degree in physics, it's probably astrophysics, not just physics.
There's a whole race of Q who theoretically keep the other Q in check. Like there was that one episode where there was the girl who was the daughter of the other Qs, and they had killed the parents because they interfered too much.
They weren't supposed to put them together in the books, but in the original trilogy. In the original show, there was a Trelane or something.
Huh?
He was dressed like Napoleon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they depowered Q because he went too far.
By book-wise, and they tie everything together, he's one of the Q.
Oh, yeah, and then... in Star Trek Voyager, they had that one Q who was seeking asylum on Voyager.
Wanted to die.
Yeah, the one that wanted to die and commit suicide, and then Q was actually there.
And they had a problem with that, but they had no problem with taking Q's powers away from him and letting him nearly die.
Yeah.
But let another Q die, that's a problem.
or let another Q want to commit suicide.
Yeah. It was kill himself that was the issue, not die. Die, that's just the way of the universe. Kill yourself, you're saying you're ending the perfection they achieved. That was the whole big deal.
Well, see, that's the thing, is the Qs are supposed to be immortal. That's their thing.
If you take the
Q powers from another Q, they're mortal now. Yeah, mortal. They can die.
Yeah, but
so
I mean...
So just make him mortal, let him slowly die.
Yeah, but
suck
I mean,
him out into space and let him suck.
But I mean, I can understand where the guy was coming from in the episode, because I mean, think about it. If you're an omniscient omnipotent being that's immortal, and you've gone from the very beginning of time till the end of the universe. You've seen everything. You've done everything. And there's nothing left for you to do. It's the equivalent of someone giving you a game system and then only giving you one game to play for 50 years. Eventually,
it depends on the game.
You'd want to end it.
It depends on the game.
Even if you could find everything, and after
Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, just go back and redo it. Yeah. But here's the thing. But you have that.
This one takes
unlimited power. You just make new stuff.
I mean, people could play that shit forever.
We've been playing Minecraft. We got on our old world, and we're making the Hall of Justice
the way you
soon.
Make it, it's bad.
Yeah.
Because we can disprove it easily.
Right. Bad examples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Poor metaphor.
Well, his metaphor for it in the show wasn't that much better. He just brought up everyone into this like construct of a world, and told the captain, the commander, and the other Q, and you know everyone else. It's basically, you know, I'm sitting here at this deserted store where time does not exist, and there's one road, and it goes forwards and backwards, and you've been everything, including the dog that sits on the porch. There's nothing else for you to do.
Make something new.
Eventually something's
Q always finds something new to do. So if Q can figure out something to do, Q can figure out something to do.
Sucks that they all have pretty much the same.
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
Thing one, thing two. Looks
like,
they need at least that difference.
Well, you have Q
and
his wife
Q. Shows up all the time.
Yeah, there's that.
And his wife Q.
But as much as Q
and his wife Q.
And their baby Q, which in the books they actually put as a lowercase Q.
But as much as Q doesn't really fit with the whole grounded sci-fi that Star Trek has going, they do use him effectively as a plot device where, hey, we want to have the Enterprise crew dressing up as Robin Hood and his Merry Men. How can we do that? Oh, Q makes
it. But I mean, alternately, that's
we need
all
a new bad guy.
We want...
bring the board.
Well, right.
Q does that.
Of course, I can imagine if they didn't have something like that to break up, you know, 100 plus episodes... It would get
a little stale.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
and John
they
DeLance,
used him effectively for what he was.
And John DeLancey, who plays Q, originally he didn't have a whole lot of interest in playing the role.
But he does a great job with him.
He's a cult classic character now, you know. So
he was a popular character on an extremely popular iteration of a very popular franchise.
Yeah.
That'll work for you.
I love those episodes.
It certainly didn't hurt his career any.
They're talking about, you know, it's been like, 20 years almost since the last Star Trek series?
It's been 20 years last year.
It hasn't been 20 years since Voyager. Voyager ended in the late 90s, early 2000s.
This is a question, not a statement. How long has it been?
No, because 94 was when Next Generation ended.
Next Generation was then, and then Voyager
was on for like what?
Deep Space Nine.
Enterprise was the last one, for the last couple seasons. So it's been 10 years.
So 2000
Enterprise since the end of Enterprise.
No, I don't shit on Enterprise like a lot of people seem to.
I actually enjoyed it.
Last episode, I can kind of understand why people would be a little miffed about it.
I just had a lot of problem with bringing in stuff that up until the Next Generation timeline, like they brought in the Borg.
They shouldn't have done that.
They showed a Ferengi, which up until Next Generation, nobody had seen what a Ferengi looks like.
They got caught in the trap where they wanted to use a lot of the popular things from Next Generation, but not staying true to the timeline that they should
have.
That
was the problem I had with it. Other than that...
Well, if they'd stayed true to the timeline, it would have been 100 episodes of him sleeping with green women, because that's all they did.
Yeah, they would have had to use Klingons, Vulcans, Romulans, and that's about it. Yeah.
Anyone remember the original Klingons?
Yes.
It was the 60s, and they didn't really. And Star Trek never really had a big budget originally, so they
Let's be honest. It was the 60s. We were racist as a society. a show could not have that many black characters reoccurring regularly. It was canceled. A big deal. They had the one.
Yeah, I mean, Star Trek pushed the envelope as far as they really could have at the time.
And it was a huge deal just for Uhura and Kirk to kiss.
Yeah, with a multicultural cast. And yes, they had the first interracial kiss on television.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and they even had a character in the show that was like white on one side and black on the other.
And that was the overt stuff. They also had sort of a more subtle message about, you know, hey, maybe the Cold War isn't as black and white as we thought it should be.
They did a lot of stuff when it came to culture and politics in that show, but they were really subversive about it.
Well, things that were really progressive at the time, that nowadays we can't see the big deal about it because it's just become an accepted part of culture.
It's not our...
Yeah.
It's not our time.
Yeah, we don't...
Yeah.
We live in a totally different time.
Yeah. But the thing that makes Star Trek, like, timeless, I feel, is, like, they focus on human drama, moral dilemmas that... Because the focus was not on big budget space battle things, which inherently are going to get dated after a few decades.
Yeah.
They focus on the human drama, which is timeless.
Now, yeah, I mean, and most of the original Star Trek episodes, you know, have some moral lesson that would still hold true today, you know.
I mean, look at the Star Trek Next Generation episode about where they tried to classify Data as property.
Oh, measure of a man?
Yeah, property. Yeah, property and not a sentient being.
Hey, he's fully functional. That's all you need to know.
Programmed in many techniques.
Yeah, that was a weird episode.
That was a weird episode.
Drunk and Data banged Tasha Yar. And,
Data wasn't drunk.
No, he was.
He had a chance.
He was affected by that virus.
I like the episode where he gets possessed.
You know, the sad part is that the virus gave him emotions, and yet when he didn't...
How do we keep ending up on sex and robots?
I've been silent.
Fucking Ex Machina, man. Ever since that movie came out.
I never did see Ex Machina.
It's about sex robots.
I've heard it's excellent.
I went and saw it.
According to the most
talking about
here,
was sex robots.
It's about a sex bot.
They're trying to advertise it more as about a fundamental existentialist drama.
Yeah,
it's about sex with a robot.
Does he have sex with a robot, or is he just a sexual?
Not the main.
That's an important distinction.
How many weeks has it been? Two? Has it been 2 weeks?
It's been almost three.
All right.
Now I might see it, so don't tell me.
I don't want in on this because I actually want to see this movie. Like,
all right.
It's just more of a wait till it's on DVD kind of movie.
All right, look, I'm not going to spoil anything, but
you are.
Every time anybody says that.
Look, I'm not going to spoil anything.
At the end of the movie,
I don't want to sound racist.
Just listen.
Not a good way to start sentence.
Look,
it usually means you're about to do exactly what you said.
We really don't want to hear you say it, so I have no problem with us continually talking over here.
Yeah, I mean, without spoiling anything, he immediately goes and spoils something. Yeah. So
I'm not going to actually spoil anything. I was just going to say what I did last week or the week before.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Spoiling.
Wait, did you have sex with the robot?
Spoiling everything. Game of Thrones. I liked the way they did the zombies.
I need to go home and watch the recording of that. I heard that the shit really hits the fan.
They did better with their zombies than Walking Dead's done with their zombies.
I'm not sure.
Suddenly the Walking Dead police come looking. What did you say?
I don't know.
I have been liking the season a lot so far.
I'm ready to go to Walking Dead jail over that. That was amazing.
I hate that the
most despicable character on the show right now's first name is pronounced the same as my last name. Like every time you say like Ramsey, like, god damn it.
I'll say just having Tyrion talk is worth the entire episode.
It's been a long time coming.
It's gotten really good.
I haven't seen any of the whole season yet.
It's been really good.
I can't believe that Arya died in the first episode. But either way. I would have stopped watching.
George R.R. Martin keeps saying every time people ask him about when's the next book coming out, he's going to kill a new Stark.
Hopefully it'll be Sansa then, because Arya is like the best character on the show.
Well, you know, I mean, he's even made a joke. He did a spot on Letterman, you know, a while back, where it was just 5 minutes. He goes, "How's the new book?" And he goes, "I just killed three of your favorite characters." Yeah. You know, and that was
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom watches it, and she's like, I'm sure they're not going to kill this person because people like it. I said, the books have already been written. And he doesn't care. He likes killing main characters.
He has a contract. He's going to get paid.
I mean, on the hand,
the books are already written, though.
I mean, there should be... Yeah. It's kind of cool that no one is safe, that there's actual high stakes and drama.
I'd rather have that.
No one has plot armor.
Yeah. He actually has the balls to do it.
Literally, right, right now, exactly. In the middle of all this, Jon Snow could just... be gone.
Yeah. It and can happen to whenever. It doesn't even have to be a season finale. It could just happen in the middle of the season. Joffrey died like a third of the way into the season.
Joffrey's dead? What? No.
If it happened last season, it's okay to
say. I know.
But there is a legitimate worry, though, that George R.R. Martin is kind of old and he doesn't exactly look
healthy. I'm worried he's going to die before that last book
comes
out.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. We've got theoretically two books
to
go.
Somebody
let's
will finish the last book.
He's
and all
probably. Let's
after.
Be optimistic and say next book comes out next year. Which optimistic?
That wouldn't be too bad, but I think it'll probably.
He's writing them about like once.
It, kill them all.
Yeah. I saw a webcomic one time where it's like he's the writing the last pages of the last book, and then he just now for the most shocking twist of all, and he hangs himself, and he's just like there's like a picture of him.
See, I read Terry Brooks, and Terry Brooks is finishing the Shannara series in the next 3 years.
Okay.
Completely finishing it. Because he said he doesn't want someone to take it over when he dies. He said he wants to be the one to finish it.
George R.R. has a stipulation that no one's going to... He told the show people how, like, the main plot wraps up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even then, it's not
yeah,
much of a
in
plot.
That,
but,
yeah.
But he, no one's going to finish the books if he dies. He apparently already has that contracted out.
Well, it's
I hope he
same.
Does get to finish, because he's writing them like once... You get like one book every 4 years, I think, is the pace we're on.
Yeah, because Dance came out, what, like 2000...
Yeah, original book Game of Thrones came out in like the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think when the last one came out. It was...
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute, because I...
What? We have the internet. What are we doing?
Well, I was hoping Larry was on it.
He's on it.
Because he has a computer right in front of him.
Larry will save us.
Yeah, just now getting around to it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, that's just the worst.
Well, that's awful.
All right. According to Wikipedia, let's see what they say. Yeah, what was the name of the last book?
Dance with Dragon.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Was it a Feast for Crows?
No, Dance was the last one.
Okay. All
right.
Feast was
so,
the fourth one.
Yeah. Dance with Dragons came out in 2011.
2011. Yep, so.
Song of Fire and Ice came out in 2005.
You just called 2005
25?
Yes, you did. I did.
Yeah, I was kind of like.
I was like, came out in 25?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Sword of Swords came out in 20-aughts. Yeah, how's that? Yeah!
What is wrong with you?
Would you rather me call it Ought 5?
2000! My God, just say 2000!
You know what? I would be cool with Ought 5. I really would.
I like Ought 5.
I do too.
It has a nice kind of old-timey twang to it.
This just in. Hitler
back
takes
Poland.
Back in
Ought 7.
All right,
well, that was in the 30s, so...
Yes, that wouldn't be Ought anything.
Ragtime was still a thing around that time.
Nothing like some old fashioned country time lemonade. And enough.
Okay, is that.
We're stretching for time while Larry looks this up.
Well, actually, no, I just looked it up and told you.
Yeah. Oh, but you weren't done yet. Like, how many.
Oh, okay, so, yeah. Book two. Song of Fire and Ice, Book two. Clash of Kings, 98. A Game of Thrones came out in 96.
Okay.
So 96
was on a pretty good pace at first.
The same
it was like once every 2 years.
Yeah, but then, I mean, well, as more of those strings start connecting more and more, it's like he's got a lot to keep up with, like, in every book, because he doesn't miss a beat, like, legitimately. I have friends who've read the books repeatedly, and
now,
like, I keep looking for a thing where it's like, that doesn't make sense or it doesn't have a beat. It's like, I haven't found one.
two prequel novellas. One in 2013.
Why is he doing novellas when he should be finishing the book?
That is kind of annoying when, like, an author you like is in the middle of writing a book series and he starts writing something that's not the series you read. Like, well, like, no, Jim Butcher right now.
Prequels to the series. But,
but who cares about that yet?
And yeah, then a guide to the world.
It says there, on the wiki says there's three.
Get
to Jim Butcher writes the Dresden Files, and they are awesome sauce. It's been a year since the last one came out. A little over a year. It came out May 2014. He's writing some other series, though, and, you know, it looks cool. It's like...
But actually, you're
doing pretty good. Lance or something. I don't know. Looks like something I'd want to read, but I'd rather him write the fucking Dresden Files.
No, it says there's five prequels. It says there's three that are just straight prequels. And then
okay,
two,
now that's actually starting to
piss me
off. And
then two that are prequels for just... then it says there are two that are prequels based on just House Targaryen. And those came out 2013 and 14.
Priorities, man.
Maybe somebody needs to just
get the Princess and the Queen and the Rogue Prince or the King's Brother.
Are you sure they're written by him?
That's what it says.
Because, you know, it could be one of those things where it's like he did, like, maybe the framework of it a la God is Dead, but then had someone else actually write the stuff.
It may be, but it doesn't say
I mean,
that it is. Normally, there's something next to it saying.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
is.
You know, like or like some of the Dune books at a certain point. You know, like, but because I just find it hard to believe that in all his he's had that much.
He's playing a song.
George R. R. Martin, please write and write faster. You're not going to get any younger, you know.
But you like it to be fun. But it could be, you know, full story, you know.
So he's got like some more books to be writing. No time for short stories, George.
Well, every now and then you have one of those like legends that comes out where they want to write, you know, a short story in your world, and like to put a bunch of authors together,
like an anthology.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, ultimately, he can do that after he finishes the damn books. If he's still picking that.
Well, okay, this is something he's actually complained about how what despicable vultures the fans become after that. And we are kind of proving that.
Well, no, I mean, there's a few
of us. Fuck you, right?
You know, with the Dark Tower series. I mean, he even, like, so much so that in the last chapter of the series, he even, like, yells at fans pretty much.
Well, this is what I have to say about it. If I was writing those books and I was like, you know what, I want to make sure I get things done before I die, because he's had concerns that he might die before him. I wouldn't be wasting my time on prequels.
I would, because then I would think that, you know what, then if you're a scientist in medicine, you want to find a way to make me live longer.
I guess we can't understand his creative. Maybe he needs to take a break from writing. He needs to get out of that universe and then come back to it.
Well, I'm even fine with that, but the fact that he's still in that universe writing prequels is the thing.
Yeah, but do you know
writing other books but is all right.
But do you know he doesn't already have those books done and it's just making you wait?
I don't think he does. Because if you look at his time frame for the early books, he would have been releasing them in that same time frame consistently.
Yeah, but right now, with the show being as big as it is...
I don't think he really cares about the show, to be honest.
He doesn't, but it makes you want the book that much more.
Well, the show's going to lock the books pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They're only in book two.
No, they aren't.
Oh, they passed that.
They're
they
way
said
past.
They said that on the... when they were in behind the scenes, they said they're in book two.
No, they aren't.
That was...
They're in... Let's see. Red Wedding isn't even... When does Red Wedding take place? It's like...
Joffrey's gonna die until...
It's three or four that Joffrey dies. Yeah, no, like... It's about book three, I want to say, that Joffrey dies. Which is Storm of Swords.
That was... Paul and Storm... a band...
I heard him on Bob and Tom.
Yeah. And then also,
we were talking about that.
Ian
we're trying to we're trying to narrow down how far along the show is.
Okay, this is how it went. Roughly, the first season is the first book. And the second season is roughly the second book. Roughly. And that's
really?
Yeah, and they... But they've also, as shows do, they're taking elements, they take divergent paths. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I've heard a lot of people say
they have
say
changed
that
certain things, which I think are good things to change.
Certain things a lot.
Well, they've cut out extraneous characters to some degree. Like Tyrion, during his trial, the thing that pushed him over the edge was some character who was never in the show, who he used to be married to, who got killed, and they told him, like, oh, we were just paying her to love you, but she did in fact actually love him, and he finds out that they lied to him about her, and that's what drives him to kill Tywin. That character did not exist at all in the show, and I can understand why, because that is a lot of backstory
explaining you'd have to do.
Yeah, they'd have to
basically pull a,
there's only so much
like
you can
hero
put into a TV show,
yeah,
compared to a book.
Yeah,
so they cut out that character entirely, which I think was the way to go.
I mean, yeah, it's all right, but yeah, to say that they're in book two, that is wrong.
That's what they say on the behind the
because
scenes.
Okay,
content.
Pretty much
we hadn't read the book.
The end of book two, or the main thing in Clash of Kings, is the battle at, I want to say it's pretty much the huge battle where the chain
Blackwater
comes, yeah, Battle of Blackwater or whatever. That's like the main focus, as I recall. It's been a while since I've read the books, but it's like
I said, I haven't read them at all.
Oh, I haven't read the books either, but
Really?
Well, then they're really going to run out of
yeah, they're really going to run
material
out.
Yeah, that's the thing, because like, I mean, I would say to a T, the first season pretty much ends at the end of the first book.
Okay, but I guess enough Game of Thrones for now.
So
we probably should be wrapping up, I suppose.
Yeah, that was my basic point. Final thoughts?
Really interesting to see all this FIFA stuff continuing to have fallout where he did actually resign. Probably for the best. Doesn't necessarily mean we're out of the woods, though, because that whole organization is pretty corrupt throughout.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But he had
say,
to go. That had to be part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I will say, I haven't been keeping up with it too much, but
he got reelected last Friday, but
yeah,
yesterday
he
announced his resignation as soon as they elect someone new.
My mind's out.
So they're organizing a new election now.
So what happened? I missed this.
Last week, a bunch of arrests were made in FIFA. A lot of the higher-ups, including the number two guy in FIFA. Not Sepp Blatter, though.
Wasn't it like 15 people?
7 or 8, I think. But a lot. Last Friday, he was reelected. Yesterday, he announced that he was, in fact, going to resign after all. He announced his resignation, but they're going to carry out a new election first. So probably at least 4 months. And that's being pretty optimistic about a speedy time table. What I assume must have happened is that one of the people they had arrested was starting to murmur about, oh, okay, I will give you Sepp Blatter. I've got shit on him. And Sepp must have realized this and is trying to, like, head it off before it happens, I assume.
Well,
so what are they being arrested for?
Corruption, taking bribes.
$125 million
worth. You know, just classic. Yeah.
Like, they were able to prove that one of them took bribes in order to get the World Cup to South Africa.
This corporation is doing bad things?
And
the biggest
surely to God,
corporation in the world.
I don't know if they explicitly proved it, but they must have taken bribes to send
it
to Qatar.
So normal that
with,
it's in
where
everything.
It's literally deadly for players to play
in
Qatar.
Yeah. It's 120 to 140 degrees.
When you're sitting still. Guys are playing a sport for
an hour and a half.
I was under the impression that
there wasn't
a lot of people that actually wanted to host the World Cup this time.
Well, no.
The U.S. did. Several other countries. Well, there were other candidates in places where people are not going to die while playing there.
And not to mention the fact that
Wasn't Chicago
that was Olympics.
And not to mention in Qatar, where they're building new stadiums for these soccer matches, over 4,000 people have died from heat exhaustion and just building those stadiums.
1,200 so far, where they're projecting it would be 4,000 by the time the 2022 World Cup deadline comes.
Yeah, but still.
Either way, yes, that's awful.
That's a lot of damn people. And plus, you're really going to ask people, professional athletes, to play in 120 to 140 degree weather for an hour and a half. Are you fucking kidding? Are going to kill someone just from heat stroke
Well,
per
I
game.
Mean, honestly,
what kind of car do you give to a person that
this,
dies on?
this
a black one.
Stadium to be air conditioned. You're
no
crazy.
No, and these are not enclosed arenas. Mm-hmm. These are outdoor arenas. And they make these countries build these massive stadiums, and then after they play,
say make is kind of rough because that country's heads
they
definitely
do.
Are like, yeah, I mean, we'll take that. Like,
they don't make them.
Too. Yeah.
All right. Well, Brazil just built like what 8 of these stadiums, and they only played like what 3 or 4 games per stadium, and now one of the stadiums that's in Brazil that is the second biggest soccer stadium to date, all it's being used for is a bus parking lot.
So I guess
that's
you must have watched last week with John Oliver.
Yeah.
Which is a great show, by the way. But
very relevant.
They did build a stadium for millions of dollars that in the armpit of the Amazon, where no one is.
Yeah.
There's never going to be enough people there to justify having a soccer team.
They're like, that stadium is like 300 miles from anything remotely considered civilization where soccer is actually a commodity.
Yeah, I definitely remember John. Maybe we're doing the whole
maybe
FIFA
monkeys
thing.
Would evolve.
He did another
soccer.
One this up last Sunday. That was before Seth Blatter announced his
recognition. Soccer match.
I've been falling behind on my TV watching.
Okay. Anyway, that was supposed to be a last thought. FIFA is corrupt, but it looks like maybe signs of improvement.
I mean, FIFA's corrupt, but as far as sports ball goes, it's my favorite sort of sports ball. Yeah. But that's me.
And you know, I mean, the NFL and the NCAA are already pretty bad, but FIFA is a literal cabal of supervillains.
When you take a world, because it is the biggest sport in the world.
Essentially.
Yeah, and plus his opposition, wasn't he like the royal prince of...
Prince Ali.
Of Jordan, I think.
Ali Ababa?
No. Not that one.
No, but like on the ballot, it actually says HRH Prince so and so of Jordan, or I think it's Jordan, but yeah,
Prince of Jordan.
Yeah.
Oh dang.
Yeah, but it's FIFA is super corrupt. So my final thought: Indian motorcycles got to demo a few of them. They're great. They're a little pricey, but the money you spend on them goes into the engine and the suspension where it ought to go. They're super light. They're lightweight. They're balanced. They ride great. The suspension is awesome. Definitely a must buy. Sloan's Motorsports out in Murfreesboro, they carry them. And Nashville just opened up its own Indian motorcycle store out on 8th South called Music City Indian. I got to go in there, and they're great. The showroom is absolutely beautiful.
Right back there.
Okay, I'll be right back.
My favorite probably is either the Scout or the Dark Horse. So
now, are these any different? Does Polaris make its own brand of motorcycles? All right.
Polaris owns Victory.
They also own Indian.
Yeah, they also own Indian, and they own Slingshot. Like,
but they don't release under the Polaris.
No, they don't release under like the Polaris. Yeah, they don't release under the Polaris brand. They act like Victory and Indian are their own motorcycle company, and then Polaris, they're known for doing ATVs and side by sides, and now the Slingshot, which is basically a 2-wheel in front, 1 in back.
Oh, it's that lame thing.
Car with
trikes are illegal.
Now. Yeah, it's a four cylinder Chevy engine that makes 174 horsepower.
It screams midlife crisis to me.
But I mean, it's as wide as a lane of traffic.
A lot of things do.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, they look really cool. So
it's a funny story.
Yeah.
All right. So, Indian motorcycles good. You like them better than Victories or Harleys?
I prefer Indian over Victory, but I prefer Victory over Harley. I'll take an Indian or a Victory over a Harley Davidson any day.
So, Indian motorcycles, official motorcycle midlife crisis.
Secret Wars 3 is out today. Looking forward to it. Really been enjoying everything so far.
Everybody seems to be liking Secret Wars.
Yeah, it's been good.
It is good.
And I'm hoping they keep it up. I even picked up the Amazing Spider-Man title, which I've been off of Spider-Man for a long time because I'm not a big fan of Dan Slott's writing.
Is this the Renew Your Vows?
Yeah, the thing? Renew Your Vows.
It's hard to tell which of the tie-ins to get into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Mark also said that this one's good. So he said it is enjoyable. So, and I usually trust Mark's very cynical opinion on things.
He's not quick to give praise.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be good. And that's my thought.
Rest in peace, Betsy Palmer. Miss Voorhees passed away over the weekend.
Oh, heard it. Wow.
Yep. Right and before we go meet Kane Hodder.
Yeah, Adam West bailed on us last week, but then they added Kane Hodder for Fanboy this weekend.
Cool. So. He's a pretty big guy. I've met him a few times at the Nashville Tattoo Convention.
Big guy, but when you see him on TV, they always put him next to really tall guys to make him look short.
Yeah. I mean, he's like super stout, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you watch him on Ghost Adventures, he looks so short. But I guess that Zach is just super tall.
Yeah.
Renew your vows. I'm ready to read that.
I've said hopefully Mary Jane's not a bitch.
Yeah, I hope she's not a bitch like she's been for a while.
She's gonna
now.
Be.
The trailer, or little description they give, the blurb, it's... You know, alternate universe where they're struggling to make bots. Yeah. So she apparently never became a supermodel or whatever. You know,
I mean, in her character is pretty much she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Isn't she supposed to be the girl next door? At what point did the classic girl next door become?
Hey, do you remember the girl next door to you when
in
you
the
were
comic,
growing
she
up?
Was always,
she was a bitch, wasn't she?
In the comics, she was always like supposed to be like the wild. Child alternative to Gwen Stacy when she was first introduced.
Which I feel like Gwen Stacy was legitimately...
I just hated how... this is how I take it. She divorced Peter because she was like, either you be Spider-Man or you be Peter. You have to choose. He chose Spider-Man. She left and then got with a guy that was a firefighter. It's like, okay, yeah, his career isn't on the level of Spider-Man. But he's still going to go and might die.
Yeah, really.
It's the exact same thing.
It's like both of those guys have the same exact problems when it comes to risk management in a job position.
Like Doc Ock's going to kidnap random fireman.
Exactly.
You know,
true.
Background characters, they do end up in some kind
and
of
besides,
battle.
If Doc Ock doesn't get the memo that, you know... Mary Jane and Peter have not broke, or Spider-Man have not broken up. Then he might kidnap Mary Jane, and he'd just be like, "Well, Spider-Man, you better come get her." It's like, "Oh man, Kiefer, I don't need her anymore."
I go with the same thing up. I like how in DC they put Superman and Wonder Woman together, and not with Lois Lane. How many times you guys save the same person?
Yeah, really.
I mean, you see her kiss Superman. You see her kiss Clark Kent.
All
does that now
say
puts
about
up
that
you work in the
back
news?
And watch your copy of Mallrats. Explains everything. Kevin Smith has already came up with the reason why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, good night, Elaine.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Final thoughts? All right.
Rounds, yeah.
Well, see you next week.
I was meaning that. Did you want more updates on the bike project?
Check us out here today on here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee, or online at comiccity2.com or on Facebook or on outrightgeekery.com.
I wrote a review. Go read it. Like it. Yay.
You're still excited about
I'm excited to actually write
something. I live with all this shit.